Today's financial editor on 930 WFMD was recorded at an earlier date.
The award-winning Your Financial Editor program on 930 WFMD. News from the worlds of business and finance with your financial editor, Chris Murray.
This is Chris Murray, your financial editor on Free Talk Radio 930 WFMD at WFMD.com. And as a podcast, just go to Apple Podcasts and you can grab it there. Thanks so much for being with us today. And I mentioned right before the break, we were going to have some economic data, just a little bit I wanted to share with you. One thing we saw this week, a forward-looking measure of the U.S. economy continued to decline in January. So the Conference Board's leading economic index does project a sharp slowdown in economic activity by the second quarter, but they're saying now it's not signaling a recession. I'm not sure why they're saying that, because it's been down for so many months in a row. Actually, over the last 6 months alone, it's fell by 3%. But they're saying, even though this is a leading indicator, that it's not going to be a recession like we saw a couple of years ago, back-to-back negative GDP, but instead just a sharp slowdown is the way that they're putting that. So I wanted to share that with you. A little bit in the housing space this week, new U.S. home construction dropped in January to the lowest level in 5 months. So housing starts were down 14.8% in January, according to the Department of Commerce. And that was well below what economists were looking for, and actually marked the lowest level of housing starts since August of last year. So, you know, it just wasn't good. Also, we saw that applications to build, so your future construction sneak peek, also slid in January, falling 1.5% over the course of the month. So, you know, that could have been better. And then when you look at another piece that we got, it was on existing home sales. And according to the National Association of Realtors, existing home sales were up 3.1% from December, but they were down 1.7% from the same time last year. So definitely a mixed report there. We saw that the median home was sold for $379,100, up 5.1% from January of 2023. And also for January, that number was an all-time high for the month of January. So apparently there was a little bit of a ease in mortgage rates, right, that we have talked about. And that helped some people get their foot in the door in January, and that helped existing home sales. So, you know, that's hopefully a good thing, and a sign of more to come would be great. And then no big surprise either. We got the minutes from the last Federal Reserve meeting, which was held on January 30th and 31st. The bulk of policymakers at that meeting, they're concerned about the risk of cutting interest rates too soon. So that was, you know, there were more in the room worried about acting too quickly, as opposed to those who were saying, hey, we're going to do more damage if we wait too long. So the interest rate thing cut continues to get really pushed out. Everybody was thinking it was going to be March. Then you see some of this economic data, even though much of it is in question. And, you know, a lot of people don't believe it, basically. But in any event, that's the data that we're being presented. And again, these Federal Reserve officials are having a hard time because they want to cut interest rates, but then they get a piece of data like the CPI that we were talking about the last couple weeks, the consumer price index coming in hotter than expected. And then, of course, it's an election year, so they want to try to do rates, but if they wait too long and get too close to the election, then they're going to be accused of really manipulating the election in some sense, probably. So it's interesting to watch these guys squirm again, especially since they're supposed to be the smartest bears, right? It just doesn't seem to be the case. Okay, moving on. Our subject of today is how to avoid investment scams. You know, they can take many forms, right? These daggone fraudsters can turn on a dime when it comes to creating new ways to separate you from your money. And it's really a shame. And I know the folks that listen to the program, whether you're new or you've been with us over the last 27 years, you're smart and you know what's good and what's not good and that type of thing. But in a way, not only is this for you that I wanted to get some of this info out as a reminder, but it's for your mom and dad, your grandparents, aunts and uncles, friends, maybe an elderly neighbor. You know, all these, so many people are at risk of an investment scam, along with other types of scams, of course. But and we want to keep an eye out for everything. But, you know, with the program being your financial editor, we're going to focus on the financial and investment scams out there. And again, just as a reminder, here's an overview of some of them. Ponzi schemes, right? Been around for decades and decades. So just as an overview, you have this main fraudster, or maybe it's, you know, plural. There's a hub of those scummy people, and they collect money from new investors, and they use it to pay returns to earlier stage investors rather than investing or managing the money as they promise you. And Ponzi schemes require a steady stream of incoming cash to stay afloat. So it's really horrific for the people at the end of the party when the music stops and everybody's, you know, looking for the chair. It's not there. So maybe some people in the beginning, you know, are going to do okay. But and the fraudster, of course, if he doesn't get caught or she doesn't get caught. But that's basically what it is. So when people come to you with these ideas or stories or whatever it may be as to why you should give them money, you have to be aware of, again, what's the business plan, what's the product, what's the service, what other investors are there, what kind of track record, you know, are there statements that you can see as far as, you know, some of the financials that they're going to share with you? And of course, then you have to make sure they're right. You look at Bernie Madoff. I mean, this guy was so well respected, right, on Wall Street and in his community, held high positions. And he had people fooled for years and years and years, fake statements. You know, he would send out fake, you know, statements on investments showing this rate of return. But that's all it was. It was just a Ponzi scheme, right? And he got away with it for a very, very long time and crushed people along the way. So be careful about that. Then you have what's called a pump and dump. Sweatshops, for example. Maybe you've seen some movies and you see the, you know, people, shady people in these rooms, and they're pumping and dumping the stock. And the way that works is, again, somebody comes to you or calls you most often, and they're a fraudster as well. And what happens is that fraudster deliberately buys shares of a very low price stock of a small, thinly traded company, and then spreads false information to drum up interest in the stock and increase its price. And then this crook dumps his shares at the high price and vanishes. And that leaves many people caught with worthless or near worthless shares of stock. So you really have to be careful about the pump and dump scheme as well. What's the saying? If it sounds too good to be true, it's too good to be true. So, but I tell you, very persuasive people out there. And they're so good at it that they make us want to believe them. But be careful of both the Ponzi scheme, the pump and dump. There's also just your basic pyramid schemes. So this fraudster is claiming that they can turn a small investment into large profits within a short period of time. But in reality, participants make money solely by recruiting new participants into the program. And then the people that are behind this scheme typically go to great lengths to make their programs appear to be legitimate, multi-level marketing schemes. So there's that fine line, right? There's real multi-level marketing schemes that are legitimate, but then there's so many of them that aren't. And they're very damaging to people, and it really takes its toll on them. So, you know, you really, really have to be careful of the pyramid schemes out there. One other thing I'll throw out, promissory note fraud. So what that is, and you have to have your antennas up for this, is a promissory note is a form of debt that companies sometimes use, like loans, and they do that to raise money. And when sold in a fraudulent way, scammers make false claims about the company and the terms of the promissory note. And, you know, you really need to look out for those deceptive statements, such as investors will receive very high double-digit returns. They'll say that the returns are guaranteed and that the notes are backed by, you know, some type of collateral to guarantee the note, that type of thing. So those are, again, some of the big ones that we really have to be aware of, have to be cautious of. And when it comes to investments in general, you know, you want to know who you're working with, and you want to make sure that they don't have any dirty laundry. And one way of doing that is you can go to FINRA, FINRA.org, and then you can do a broker check. So you can see, again, if there's been complaints, if there's been sanctions, if there's been legal action taken, any of that stuff will show up if you go to FINRA.org and do a broker check. And there's other places you can go as well. You can go to the Securities and Exchange Commission. You can go to the NAIC.org. You know, there's a bunch of different ways you can check on the people that that are you're either working with if you have some concerns, or that you're thinking about working with. And the fact is, you know, it's great to be able to say the harder you look, the better I look, right? That's what you want your advisor to be able to say, that they don't have that dirty laundry or the skeletons in the closet or any of that nonsense where they've had serious problems or even minor problems that you wouldn't approve of when it comes to trusting, you know, an advisor to help you with things. So again, protect yourself and the people you love and care about when it comes to these investment scams, and especially the elderly. That's not a big surprise. I'm not paving any new road here, but that's, again, back to what I said a little while ago, those people are more susceptible. Grandparents, elderly aunt and uncles, neighbors, friends, whoever it may be. So what are some of the things that, you know, that we can do to help stop elder fraud? Well, we can have a conversation about it, right? Just have a healthy conversation about it. I mean, people are used to getting these scam telephone calls all day long anyway, so they know it's out there. They know that people are trying to bait them and, you know, try to take their money or get their house from them or whatever it might be. There's evil out there. So one of the best things we can do is talk about it, just like we're doing right now. Don't act like it doesn't exist or that it won't happen to us, or, you know, just focus and talk about all rosy subjects. Don't. We can't do that, right? We're in a fallen world. So we need to make sure that we're talking about things in reality and in truth. So just by having a conversation, I think that'll help. And in doing that, you could say, you know, hey, there's a lot of stuff going on out there, and that's why we're talking about this. Let me know, as your loved one, if you ever want a second set of eyes on material you're getting, things you're being sold, whatever it might be. And I think generally that's well received. People appreciate that. They might say, oh yeah, well, you know, I did get this in the mail, or, you know, this stockbroker was selling me this, and, you know, here's the statement on it or whatever. And you'd be amazed at how much good you might be able to do immediately. So have a conversation. And then again, I just mentioned statements, you know, documents. If people that you love, you know, are involved in something, then there should be documents tied to them. So maybe you can sit and go over that with them, make sure that everything looks right and is right from a reputable company, firm, and that there's some type of understanding of what they have and why they have it. Fun. Just do it over a cup of coffee or soda. And you know, you're going to learn something. It's interaction. You'll be talking. So I think it's good. And especially on the, you know, these financial accounts, you want to make sure that everything does look right, that there's nothing, you know, kind of sketchy about some stock you've never heard of or whatever it may be. So that if all of a sudden you get that gut feeling like, hey, I'm not too sure about this, well, pay attention to that and maybe do a little more research, legwork. The best thing to do is get whoever sold that to them, get them on the phone and have them explain, or have a meeting with them and have them explain, again, what they have and why they have it and why it's good for you or your grandparents or whoever. But especially the elderly, you know, we want to make sure that that we're checking on them on a regular basis. And the other thing is, you know, who is in line to help them, God forbid, if something happens, right? A financial power of attorney, medical power of attorney, all those types of things. You want to make sure that they're in place. I know a lot of people get weirded out by that if you have that conversation about a wills and trust and powers of attorney and all those types of things. But it's really, you know, again, if you're a loving relative or friend, then that's how it's done. It's done in love and out of friendship and because you care about the person. And just in case something happens, you know, you can be there to make sure you're acting in their best interest, right, on their behalf. So you do that by power of attorney. You can add trusted contacts to your accounts. So again, people can get a copy of the statement, or they can get access to the information, especially when it comes to aging and dementia and things of that nature. It becomes even more and more important. And you know, you want to make sure that if they have any unused extra credit cards around, you'll get rid of them, cancel them. That's not necessary. That's just you know, fertile field for a problem, potentially, if somebody gets their hands on that. And keep things simple. That's the other thing, is just, you know, if you can keep things as simple as possible, it's proven that that works best, especially for, well, not just for elderly people. You know, when it comes to finances and certain things, you know, people just don't have an interest in it. They really don't. They kind of zone out, and they don't pay attention to it, or they ignore it. So, you know, you just want to make sure that you're helping them to monitor things and make sure that that all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. And as I had said a couple times, keep, you know, monitor things. Keep a somewhat of a schedule as to, hey, you know, we need to look at this. It's been 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months. Let's go ahead and take another peek just to make sure everything's just as good as it was the last time we looked at it, and be able to move forward from there. So it's a shame, like I said, that we have to talk about this, but it's also reality and we're supposed to talk about this. And that's why, you know, I wanted to spend some time on this weekend's program to do that. You know, these terrible investment scams, the Ponzi's, the pump and dumps, the pyramid schemes, all the that garbage. There's a lot of criminal, fraudulent people and activity going on out there every day. Now, again, they're trying to separate you from your wealth. And you've worked so hard for it, and you're so deserving of it, that we want to make sure that doesn't happen. And one of the ways it doesn't happen, again, is to have family and loved ones and friends that are going to help you with that. Put a second set of eyes or a third set of eyes on it so that you feel real comfortable and know that you're right where you need to be and where you should be. So those are my suggestions. If you want a list of what I talked about, feel free to drop me an email. I'd be more than happy to get it to you, especially if this, you know, kind of made you think about somebody that you love or care about, you know, and you want to pursue this before you forget about it. The easiest thing, as I mentioned, it's just a conversation. Hey, you know, I heard something on a radio program, made sense. It's really important. And I want to make sure, because I care about you, that I brought it up and that we had this this discussion over a cup of coffee and go from there. And like I said, I'll be more than happy to send you the stuff from FINRA and go to, you know, if you drive in or you forget, just, you know, send me the email or whatever and I'll get you the FINRA.org where you can check on brokers and see what their past is as far as disciplinary action or, you know, any problems that they may have had, because we all need to know those things. Just like a doctor cutting into you, right? I mean, if you've got some quack doctor who's been sued multiple times, not just because people are sue happy from ambulance chasers, but for good reason, we want to know that. And I want to know it before the anesthesia. I don't want to know it after. Find out after the fact. So let me know. I'd be more than happy to get that info to you. So that does it for us. I'll talk with you on the Morning News Express with Bob Miller and Chris Williams. It's weekday mornings. Those are live conversations at 5:50, 6:50, and 7:50. And then we'll be back here next weekend for another edition of the Your Financial Editor program, and we'll have on the guest that I had mentioned from about that study I told you about, as far as crime is resulting in higher costs for small businesses across the whole country. It's not just concentrated in one or two or three or 10 areas. And according to the Job Creators Network Foundation poll, it's really interesting. So we're going to dive into that with the president of the Job Creators Network, Miss Elaine Parker. She's going to be joining me. And we'll talk about that and some other really interesting things when it comes to the small business owner and what's going on with jobs out there. So join us for that. And until then, this is Chris Murray wishing you and your family financial success.
Today's financial editor on 930 WFMD was recorded at an earlier date.
It's Your Financial Editor with Chris Murray on 930 WFMD.
Welcome back. This is Chris Murray, your financial editor on Free Talk Radio 930 WFMD at WFMD.com. And as a podcast, just go to Apple Podcasts and you can grab it there. And was, you know, mentioning earlier, we got some economic data this week that I thought was, you know, it was important to talk about a little bit, spend a little bit of time before we get to this ridiculous spending package that was released a couple Fridays ago. But we saw that the consumer confidence dropped just a little bit in March. So the Conference Board said that their consumer confidence index dipped to 104.7 this month from 104.8 in February. It was a, you know, that's not much of a move, but that 104.7 is pretty far from the 107 that economists that were polled by Reuters had forecast. So when you look at that, that was even more disappointing. It seemed, according to the Conference Board, their chief economist, Dana Peterson, was saying that recession fears continue to trend downward, but consumers express more concern about the U.S. political environment compared to prior months. Not a big surprise there, because we're getting closer to the election. Things are getting jacked up, I think, and it's going to continue right into November. And then the other thing was, we saw consumers' inflation expectations unfortunately ticked up a little bit in March from where it was in February. And that's the last thing we need. And by the way, back to the terrible FSK bridge collapse. You've got to wonder what that's going to do as far as inflation. Rerouting, you're talking about using more diesel fuel with trucking, longer routes, things of that nature. So we'll see how that plays out. I'd love to say that I think leadership is going to help, but I don't. I don't think that at all. I mean, the last time we had a port issue was during the virus, and Pete Buttigieg is, I can't even say this with a straight face, is taking maternity leave and MIA. So, you know, you get these people, it goes to show, who would think that the Department of Transportation, that cabinet position would be a big deal, right? Well, something like this happens, it is a big deal. When Katrina happened, the guy running FEMA, that was a big deal, right? These positions are extremely important, and you need leadership, and you need people that have knowledge and people that can make good business type decisions, because that's what it's coming down to as far as who's going to design the rebuild, who's going to be involved. How's the bidding going to go? Is it going to be honest? You know, all those types of things. Also, we saw that. So that's why I think that inflation could, even though it's already remaining sticky, as they say, could get worse. We saw that mortgage demand dropped last week. Mortgage rates went up a little bit. So you saw loan application, that volume decreased 0.7%, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. Refinancing dropped by 2% during the same time and was down 9% from a year ago. So you continue to see people that, I'll say it again, they're dealing with inflation, they're dealing with high interest rates, they're dealing with higher home prices, and sometimes that's just a really nasty recipe for the buyer, not for the seller, but for the buyer in particular. When we saw, you know, every Wednesday we get energy information from actually the Energy Information Administration. They release inventory data, and we saw it was mixed this week. I don't always talk about it. I follow it every week, but I don't always talk about it. But you know, it was mixed. We saw that crude oil stocks, actually we saw a build of 3.2 million barrels, still 2% below the five-year average for this time of year, but we'll take it because it was a build, and it was a greater number than what analysts were looking for. Gasoline inventories rose for the first time in 8 weeks. That's good going into the driving season. So, and then distillate fuel stocks, they actually fell. There was a drawdown there. So your diesel fuels, for example, there was a drawdown there of 1.2 million barrels against an expected 100,000 barrel build. So you still have that issue. And I'd mentioned, you know, I always say, if you have something, a trucker brought it to you. So it comes over, you know, with the sea crate carrier or sea container carrier. But then you think about, what did I see last time? I want to say 66,000 gallons of diesel fuel for those ships. And then it gets loaded onto the trucks, the tractor trailers, take it where it needs to be. So you're talking about diesel there. So, you know, it's going to be interesting, as I mentioned, to see how this big port accident and closure, disruption, whatever you want to call it, impacts energy and inflation. And then we also saw that the fourth quarter GDP reading, its final revision, showed that GDP was up 3.4% on an annualized basis in the fourth quarter. That was better than the 3.2%. So that's the good headline news. The bad headline that they're not going to print is how much government, i.e. taxpayer spending, is going on through these spending packages and how that adds to GDP. But, you know, when you have GDP, gross domestic product, when you have growth in general, you want it to be organic. You don't want the government involved. That's the last thing you want. So in all fairness, that number, in my opinion, is nowhere near the way they portray it. Not like it was before this administration. Again, when you had a solid economy based on, you know, a serious and stable foundation of business being done and the government not being involved near as much as it is right now with these spending packages. And speaking of that, I had mentioned, you know, this $1.2 trillion spending package dropped at 2:30 in the morning, 112 pages long, and less than 24 hours to read it, debate it, and vote on it. Unfortunately, that's the way Washington works. Never believe what a politician says. See how they vote, because I've learned over the years that they'll vote a certain way, and literally an hour later, if they can get their face on TV, they'll tell you that they stand for just the opposite, for smaller government or less spending or traditional values or whatever. And their vote is just the opposite. So they're just lying straight to your face. So always look at how they vote. This unfortunately passed 286 to 134 over fiscal and moral conservatives' objections. And they're trying to make them the bad people. How do you let like this minority hijack your party? It's simple. They believe in the Constitution. They believe in natural marriage. They know that there are two biological sexes. I mean, why would you ask that question? And they're strong enough, some of them, not many, but some of them are strong enough to vote that way. They don't care that they're going to be called an extremist or whatever, however they're going to be labeled. They don't care. They're doing the right thing in their mind for the people that they represent. And you know what? If they get reelected, then there's the proof in the pudding, right? So, you know, you've got these guys that were against this bill, voted against it. But yeah, over 1,012 pages. It includes funding for the state, education, defense, labor, homeland security, which we have no homeland security right now. They're actually processing illegals in and letting them come in. So that's just the opposite of security. And health and human services, which the government's way too involved in healthcare. We learned that with the virus, right? So now you've got the government in cahoots with major pharmaceutical companies and the whole vaccine debacle. So, but yeah, this bill was passed. Speaker Johnson said that democracy is messy. He was on CNBC. I mean, it's messy when you don't defend the republic, right? The United States of America, a republic. You drop something at 2:30 in the morning. It's over 1,000 pages long, less than 24 hours to debate and vote on it, and then you skip town for, what are they going for, 2 weeks or something, another break, another vacation. This is what they do. I thought Johnson was going to be different. I was wrong. I thought Gallagher was going to be different. He's stepping down now and doing the wrong thing. You know, I had a lot of respect for him. He's no different than any of Kevin McCarthy or any of the other fake Republicans. Buck stepping down, go, leave, get out of Washington, right? The further away these guys get, the question is, will they? Or are they going to be like Kevin McCarthy and, you know, do the whole whatever he's doing? I don't even know if he's a lobbyist now or what he's doing. But, you know, I mean, it's all revenge. But I don't care that Kevin McCarthy got fired. Actually, I do care. I'm glad. Very, very glad. And I hope that if Johnson's not going to stand up, get rid of him. Bring on the next guy or girl. Somebody that's going to lead. And quit getting their butts kicked in these budget debates over bills. I mean, look, this is another $1.5 to $2 trillion deficit this year. Debtclock.org. Go to it. I know you, oh, it's not a big deal. We'll be all right. We'll figure it out. Go to it. Watch that clock every millisecond. Last time I checked, it was, you know, just under $34.6 trillion. Will be what, $35, $36 trillion at the end of the year? Borders wide open. People are getting raped, killed, shot, beat to death. So, and like I said, when you look at the stuff that's in the bill, it's just, it'll turn your stomach as far as the money. I'll give you a little bit of it, actually. I have it here. Senator Bennett, from a Democrat from Colorado, $845,000 of your money for Envision You, LGBTQ, whatever, advocacy. Senator Schatz, Democrat from Hawaii, $550,000, Hawaii Health and Harm Reduction Center, same thing, services and syringe exchange. Schumer, there's your classic loser. $1 million for Sage New York for gay advocacy. And it just goes on and on. Abortion, this is all your money. This is what they're doing with it and how they act like they're helping. But, of course, they're just hurting everybody in this country one way or the other. And whether they realize it or not. And just another example I'll give you is stuff that gets pushed through and, you know, bills that get passed and the subsidies and the handouts. We learned this week that Fisker, the car, the automaker, they were in talks with a big automaker for a potential deal. Those talks collapsed. They're cash strapped. They paused their electric vehicle production a week ago. They weren't even making them. Then later this week, after the deals collapse, they start slashing the prices of their EV vehicles, just trying to move them and create some type of cash flow. And they're probably going to have to file for bankruptcy, right? Bankruptcy protection. This is Henrik Fisker's, it will be if they go bankrupt, his second bankruptcy. His previous attempt was Fisker Automotive. They filed for bankruptcy in 2013, despite getting $192 million in loans from the Department of Energy. The Department of Energy doesn't have any money. That's our money as taxpayers. How did we fare in that bankruptcy on that $192 million loan? Right? So they fail, and now this guy's at it again and headed for bankruptcy again. Like I said, Department of Energy doesn't have any money. This is just more of this garbage, you know, that, like I said, that occurs just like in the bill that was passed a couple Fridays ago. So this company, Fisker, had an $8.4 million payment for some notes that were due in 2026. They didn't pay it. They're using the grace period to try to stay out of bankruptcy, and their shares are down 90% this year. And let me ask you this. You know, I said that they cut the value, or excuse me, the price of their vehicles, but who wants to buy a vehicle when the company's going to be bankrupt? Like, what if you need a part? What if you need something to be fixed? You're not going to have any support. So it's a shame, but we're going to keep talking about it. We're going to keep bringing the truth to you like we do every week here on the Your Financial Editor program, and also on the Morning News Express with Bob Miller and Chris Williams when we have our business updates at 5:50, 6:50, 7:50 each weekday morning. Those are live calls, and they are a lot of fun. I enjoy talking to those guys and letting everybody know what's going on in the world of business and finance. Have a blessed Easter. That's to you and your family and your friends. I know we're going to have a nice luncheon at our house tomorrow. So, like I said, blessed Easter. And we'll talk to you soon. This is Chris Murray wishing you and your family financial success.
My game on. I step out of the shower, steaming up the place. Wipe off the mirror, shave my baby face. Can't help but smile. Hey, what can I say? I got my game on.
Past editions of this program are available in the audio vault at WFMD.com.